Thank you, one and all. Oh, you can take that, Jake. Getting a bit of feedback here, Jared. I'm sure you can work it out as I keep talking. Well, welcome to church. It's awesome to have you here. And it's been a really, really challenging time. You know, we've had so many great services here. We've only lacked one thing, and that is you. And I'm so glad that you are here now. A massive shout out to our tech team, to those in our worship team, to those that came and did things that they didn't think they could on camera, but they gave it a crack. Why don't we just give it up in one massive round of applause. And across the time, it was also awesome to hear Amy and Jazz both preach as well. So you girls did such a great job. So why don't you give it up for Amy and Jazz as well. And tonight we get to dig a little bit deeper into the book of Hebrews, which is good. So why don't I pray? Why don't we just stand in this moment? Because we want to just stand before God. It's a posture where we're going to say we're going to stand in faith. We're also going to stretch our legs. And we're just going to allow the Spirit of God this moment to really speak to us through His Word. Our Father God Almighty, I thank You that we can stand together in person and worship Your holy name. I thank You that Your Word, it pierces through all ages and generations. And it's only by faith today that we stand on Your Word, which is bedrock in a world that is a confusing place. I thank You that You bring clarity and guidance and hope. And You, Lord Jesus, want to change us to be just like You. Holy Spirit, come right now. Speak to us as Your Word is open. And may, Lord Jesus, we leave here with a greater resolve to follow You with all of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. So, the book of Hebrews is aptly named Hebrews because it's written to a group of Hebrews, which are Jewish people that became Christians in the first century, possibly living in Jerusalem. And it was at this point that the author, who we do not actually know, who wrote Hebrews, he wanted to really just lift the spirits of Jewish Christians that were discouraged, scattered possibly through persecution. But the heart of Hebrews is that in Jesus you found all you need. He's the greatest. Don't turn away from Jesus. Keep following Him with all of your life. That is the essence of this book for us. We're going to be looking at chapter 2 and 3 tonight. I guess tonight's really a rally cry. It's really a call that I'm putting out before us as we come out of lockdown, that we would keep following Jesus with both our feet. Now, you know what I mean with both our feet? Because so often, in fact, nearly always, your feet will go in the direction of your head and your heart. So when you follow Jesus with both of your feet, it actually means that you're following Him with all of your life. You can't hop after Jesus. It won't work. You can't follow Jesus with just one foot. You need to be following Jesus with both your feet. And your head and your heart, it's going to tell you where your feet are going to go. So this is a call for all of us tonight, that we would continue to follow Jesus with all of our life, especially with both our feet. I really do feel that church for me aptly is this picture of Coles, that we are like Coles tonight, that together, when our faith is united together in faith as we worship Him today, that we're like hot coals feeding off each other. If you were to take one of those coals and you were to put that coal over here, it would lose its heat. It would lose its vibrancy. It would become cold. But you take that one coal and you put it back with the other coals and it's going to regain its color, its heat, and its vibrancy. And that's why gathering like this is critical. We are like hot coals with the Holy Spirit setting us ablaze. We need each other. We need this fellowship. And it's in this fellowship that the Spirit does His best work in our hearts and in our lives. Because we're up against some pretty strong forces, some challenging forces. You know, our flesh, at times friends that don't follow Jesus, and forces of evil. These three forces actually can make it really challenging to follow Jesus with both your feet. Our flesh and our sin, it rises up within us. You know, you may have an unmet need in your life. You may have an absent father wound in your life. You may have a tragic event in your life. You may have stress in your life. You may have anxiety in your life. And so often when our buttons are pushed, there is this desire for relief and comfort, and that's when our sinful flesh comes in and wants to carry you away from following Jesus. Often in our life, if we have friends that don't follow Jesus, you know, it's so tempting to hear their voice, just try it, just do it. You don't need church, you don't need Jesus, follow along with us. It's so much more fun. And all of a sudden, your feet are just carrying you off with wherever your friends are saying. I'm not saying don't be friends with not yet Christians, but be careful that their influence doesn't carry you away. And forces of evil, dark evil forces have schemes to give you a shove in the wrong direction. Satan knows how to push your buttons when you're stressed, when you're feeling bored or lonely or whatever it may be. Satan loves to give you a shove in the wrong direction. These three forces of flesh, friends, and forces of evil, that's what we're up against. And I want to say that it is easy and tempting to just drift away from following Jesus. A great favorite place that I really love to go is a place called Dolphin Point down the south coast. This is actually Dolphin Point. And I remember with my boys, we were basically on this little sand point there. And when the tide goes out, the current sort of really just rips around and it takes you out to the ocean. And so we would be basically jumping off there and the current would just take you and sweep you away. It is so much summer fun. There are a few times where I try to turn around and like literally try and swim against it, no chance. It's just the force is too strong. It's just like it's easier just to go with the current than turn around and swim against it. Certainly don't have the energy for that. Sometimes for us as disciples of Jesus, it can be really tempting when we're standing here free from the current. Our sinful flesh, sometimes our friends that just say, just do it, or the forces of evil, we can think that jumping into the current of life, the worldly life, is the best option. But you see, as disciples of Jesus, he has freed us from the current of this world. We are freely walking around the bank with the Holy Spirit leading and shaping and guiding us. We don't have the forces of this world trapping us. We are free. And yet, sometimes we think that freedom is jumping in and just going along down the current with everybody else. Anyone can just jump in and go along with where the world's going. It's far more challenging, honestly, to follow Jesus here. But that's where eternal life is found. That's where real freedom is actually found. Here's a statement I want to make tonight. When you have found Jesus, you have all that you need. When you have found Jesus, you have all that you need. There is nothing in the current of this world that comes close to a real relationship with the author of life. When you've found Jesus, you have found all that you need. And here is the starting point for us tonight in Hebrews. Because really, the Hebrew church, the followers of Jesus, they were tempted to turn away from Jesus. And it's not new. Jesus faced this in his life constantly. In fact, Jesus found that people actually turned away from him. Jesus gave a teaching about him, his body being the bread, and that they were to drink his blood in John chapter 6. And we read that from this time on, many disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Right back there where Jesus was on this earth, he watched disciples of his walk away, not follow him anymore. He turns to his own disciples and says, do you want to leave me too? And they're like, where are we going to go, Jesus? You have the words of eternal life. And so for all of us tonight, whether you feel like you are standing firm in Christ, whether you think you're following Jesus with both your feet, or who knows, maybe tonight through lockdown, you're in a place where you're wavering a little bit. You're feeling the forces of flesh and friends and the dark evil forces, they may be aligning against you tonight. wherever you're standing tonight, I want to encourage you that this word in chapter 3 and 4 of Hebrews is for all of us. Because even if you think you are just standing firm and nothing could take you out, have a listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful. Be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Be careful, Paul says. Don't flirt with the world. Don't listen to your friends that say, just do it. Stand against Satan. We can overcome our flesh. Don't jump into the current of this world. You may think you're standing firm, but Paul says, be careful. So here in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, we actually get some rock-solid application. Rock-solid application for how we can follow Jesus with both our feet. We're going to unpack two chapters tonight. We'll move through at a good pace. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. The author says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. For this author, he likens Jesus, and there's connotations of the Old Testament all the way through. Remember, it's a book to Hebrews, Jewish people that became Christians. There's a lot of Old Testament stories in these chapters that we're going to unpack as the weeks go on. So here we see the author saying that Jesus is like our high priest. In other words, he represents you before our Father in heaven. Jesus is your defense. Jesus is on your side. Jesus is by your side. Jesus is speaking for you before our Father. Jesus is like the greatest friend you're ever going to get. Fix your thoughts on him. Fix your thoughts. And I think so often our thoughts just go really south really fast. Our eye sees, our ear hears, we have certain temptations inside of us, and all of a sudden our thoughts turn into actions, and our actions don't generally at times represent what it means to follow Jesus. So here is a real good challenge. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. How do we just actually do that? I really do want to encourage you to, it's a free app, just to download Chosen. I've watched the second season. It's awesome how it captures the life of Jesus, and it also just captures the relationships between the disciples. And what I found myself, I'd watch an episode and I couldn't help but just keep thinking about it during the day. I think the greatest, honest, practical way to fix your thoughts on Jesus, just download Chosen, watch it, and then you just watch yourself thinking about Jesus throughout the day and falling in love with him over and over and over again. I encourage you to do that. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Verse 2, we read, Jesus, he was found to the one appointed him just as Moses was, faithful in all God's house. So this, for a Jewish person, is like a mic drop moment, because all of a sudden, he's communicating that Jesus is on the same playing field as Moses. So Moses is a massive character for a Jew. Moses is the one that led God's people out of slavery. He led them through the Red Sea when God parted it. He brought down the Ten Commandments. Moses represented the nation of Israel before God Almighty. Moses spoke to God face to face. This is a big deal. This is a mic drop moment. For a Hebrew, they're reading, oh my gosh, okay, Jesus is what? Jesus is faithful as Moses was faithful. They're on the same page. He goes a bit further, you know, in the next verse. But here we see this moment where the Jews go, oh my gosh, Jesus, he's on the same page as Moses? He's faithful like Moses? Yes, in fact, it goes further. Verse 3, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Moses was faithful in the house. Jesus built the house, is what the author's saying. In fact, Jesus is greater than Moses. And for the first recipients, there was a real temptation for them to go, you know what? I'm getting persecuted for following Jesus. It's uncomfortable for following Jesus. The temptation here for these Jews, just go back and follow Moses. It's more comfortable. What about for us right now? What is tempting when it comes to us going back to whatever it was that you may find comfort outside of Jesus. I think it's really tempting for us just to jump into the current of the world. Go along with the flow like everybody else. It's comfortable there. It's easier there. It doesn't lead to eternal life. And it's not real freedom. Why would you want to do that when you've actually got Jesus, who is the greatest being in all the universe? Why go anywhere else? Like I said before, when you have found Jesus, you have all you need. All you need. So fix your thoughts on Jesus is the first point of application here. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. As this passage starts to unpack, we go into a little bit of Old Testament. Just let me unpack a little bit because you won't understand the next verses if I don't share this story. Numbers chapter 13 and 14 is where we see that Moses sends out 12 spies into the promised land. The Israelites are in the wilderness. They're not yet into the promised land. They send out 12 spies. Does anyone remember who two of the spies were? Joshua and Caleb. That's right. So they go out, 12 of them. It is a land of milk and honey. It really is. Grass is greener on the other side for them. It's a beautiful, fertile land, but it's already inhabited by other people, other nations. So they come back and they're seriously terrified. And so 10 of them say to Moses, "We can't take it. They are huge. We're not going to be able to do it. They lack faith. They're choked by fear." But not Joshua and Caleb. They're like, "What are you guys on about? This is the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a good land. God has promised us this land. Let's go in and take it." They're bold and courageous and full of faith. And so Moses goes to God, and God is, he's outraged of the lack of faith of these 10 spies. And the judgment that comes on Israel is this: that generation will not go into the promised land. And they actually go and stay in the wilderness. They never get into the promised land. The next generation that grows up, they, with Joshua and Caleb, go into the promised land because of their faith and trust in God Almighty. So let's have a look with that as the background. Let's have a look at these next few verses in chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me," God says. "Though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they should never enter my rest." They lacked faith and they never entered into God's rest. Here is a call to not harden our heart to what the Holy Spirit is been doing. So for the author of Hebrews, he's basically saying to these young Jewish Christians, don't harden your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be like our forefathers that were choked by fear and didn't go into the promised land. Don't do that. Don't harden your heart to what the Spirit of God has done. And that's the challenge for us today. The Spirit of God has revealed some great truths to all of you in different ways, right? It's the one gospel. But haven't we all experienced God in different ways? If we had a mic right now and we went around, couldn't you share stories of how God has revealed himself to you? How personal God is? How he knows you? How he's answered different questions, met certain needs? You've experienced his faithfulness and provision over the years. Don't we have just some powerful stories of the good news of Jesus that breaks into our soul? And so don't harden your heart because of today's challenge. Your friends may be saying, just do it, forget the church, just do it. Your flesh might be saying, jump in and feel the relief of pleasure. It's not joy, it's just pleasure. Pleasure goes, joy, kingdom joy remains. Satan may be shoving you in the wrong direction. And so here the author, isn't it crazy? 2,000 years ago, he's speaking to Jews, but it is just as challenging for you and I right now. Do not harden your hearts to what God has done for you in the past with the challenge you're facing today. It's a challenge to remain firm and keep following Jesus with both your feet. Verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Don't you just love how just this term, that really, I was really drawn to that. Don't turn away from the living God. Isn't that awesome? Living God. He's not dead in the grave. Jesus rose again. Don't harden your heart. Don't let an unbelieving, sinful heart take hold. Don't turn away from the living God. Because he can give you life, real life. Life in all its abundance. So how do we do that? How do we actually not jump back into the current and just be swept off with the world? How do we do it? Well, here it is, verse 13. Here's the application. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, or that none of you may jump into the current of this world. Encourage one another daily. That is the picture of hot coals for me. That's why church is so important, that we are hot coals. We need to be encouraging each other daily. I think the best way that we can encourage each other is to talk about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. We can talk about a lot of things after church, good things, fun things. But how often after church do you actually talk about Jesus together? I'll guarantee you, if you have a conversation about Jesus together, you both will be encouraged. Your hearts will be moved. You will find a resolute desire to follow him no matter the forces of this world that want to take us away. And remember, Paul said, if you think you're standing firm, be careful. If you're wavering tonight, you need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus with each other. I think that's the best way to encourage one another. Let's move to chapter 4. Verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest stands, let us be careful that none of you are found to have fallen short of it. Entering into God's rest. Sounds like a good place, doesn't it? Rest. Enter into his rest. What does that even look like? How do we even do that? Verse 11 also says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Because that rest brings the peace you're looking for. I love the fact that God's peace, it's not circumstantial peace. Do you know what I mean by that? Circumstantial peace means that you have peace for a short period of time. When you pay your premium for an insurance policy, you can have peace as long as you pay for that premium. You can't pay for that premium, your peace goes, right? You're in trouble, you need the police, they come, they restore order, that's great while they're there. They're gone and suddenly maybe the peace kind of leaves as well. But Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you peace as the world gives it. The world can take away your peace, but we can enter into the rest of God, like R-E-S-T, and know a peace. That's what the world's searching for. You're not going to find it in the current of the world, but you will find it if you enter into his rest before our holy God. So how do we even do that? How do we even do that? Well, we obviously come to the Lord in prayer, but the author of Hebrews has some specific application for us. In chapter 4, verse 12 is really about accessing the rest of God. It's how we stand in and on the word of God. And I'll say this till I'm black and blue in the face, that memory verses become our fighter verses if we want to keep following Jesus with both our feet. And this is what the author says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If you want to enter into the rest of God, R-E-S-T, we stand in and on the word of God. And I cannot tell you enough times, memory verses are the key. Memory verses. You know, these are some of my fighter verses. Do not be worried about anything, but by prayer and asking with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Do not be angry. Be careful that your anger does not cause you to sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, for anger gives the devil a mighty foothold. Rather, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In Jesus and through him, I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. In Jesus and through faith in him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. I'll go on and on and on and on. Memory verses are the absolute key to entering into the rest of God. Because I struggle with anxiety. And I've got to tell you that one of my coping strategies is to claim Scripture. There are others, but to claim Scripture and to stand in and on, and it brings rest. It brings rest. And the last for us is this. Jesus, well, he empowers us to overcome sinful struggles because he himself was tempted in every way. And the last is really about overcoming sin. And this is what Jesus says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold on to it, to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. You're struggling with sin? Yep, that'd be all of us. Jesus was tempted in every single way. Every way he was tempted. But look at this. Yet he did not sin. Jesus did what we can't. He never sinned. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Which means no matter how much you've sinned, you're never outside of God's forgiveness. He lived a life that you can't. He died a death in your place. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus overcame all sin so that we can overcome sin. We are overcomers. We are so victorious in Christ, it's not funny, because Christ overcame all sin. He's done it all so that we can live freely and receive his grace and his mercy. So here it is. There's some pretty solid application for us in chapters 3 and 4 about following Jesus with both your feet. We're challenged to fix your thoughts on Jesus. Encourage one another. Talk about Jesus together. Come into God's rest, which brings peace. We stand in and on the Word of God. We call on the name of Jesus to overcome sin. Here it is in chapter 3 and 4. This is all that we need to follow Jesus with both our feet. But even with all of that, I know that, you know what, it is so, so tempting just to jump into that current and be swept off. I think the only time I can remember being rescued down the beach was, I think I was in my early 20s. It's such an embarrassing moment, but I was surfing like 2-3 days a week, and I was pretty paddle fit at that point, and I was with my mates. We were down at Wollongong, and we're just swimming. It was all good, and it's like a flash rip. I remember that's what the lifesaver told me. Like this flash rip appeared, and we're just swimming. All of a sudden, I was just like getting swept out to sea, and like, it's crazy when you're trying to swim against the rip, you just lose a lot of energy. And I was honestly in trouble. And I really needed saving. And I just, seriously, I didn't know what to do. I put up my hand. And the clubby came on his rescue board, and it was like a Bondi rescue moment. And it is kind of humbling and a little bit embarrassing when you're sort of like on that board and you kind of like get back to the shore. And so grateful and thankful. But all I had to do is just like, put my hand up. That image and that moment where I couldn't touch the bottom, that's a scary moment because I couldn't save myself. sometimes we can jump into that current of life. You can't save yourself. All you've got to do is put your hand up. And Jesus, remember, when you found Jesus, you found all you need. You just put your hand up, and Jesus, he's the ultimate lifesaver. He's right there. And he's the only one that has the power, and his arm is never, ever too short. He's not affected by the current of this world. He conquered it. He's alive, and he's right there, and he can just grab your hand and pull you out. He's just waiting for you to go, I need help. It doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 30, 40 years, like seriously. Just put your hand up. He's right there, and he will grab hold of you because he overcame all of sin for you so that you can put your hand up. And the very hand of Jesus can pull you out of that current and put you back on the shore so you can follow him with both feet and know the freedom in Christ. Verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I'm going to invite the band to come up and have some space where we can reflect on some of those application points that the author has given us tonight. Maybe for you it's just a step of, you know what, I'm just going to put my hand up. I'm just going to reach out for Jesus. Maybe for you it's like, what does it mean to fix your thoughts on Jesus this week? What does it look like to encourage another person here tonight and talk about Jesus? What verse are you going to go away and memorize so you can come into the rest of God? Maybe for you it's like, Jesus, I do need help to overcome this particular sin. Or Lord, I don't have rest in my life and I need your peace. Can you help me? Just put your hand up. Take a moment to just seek out Jesus in this moment. Just, it's you and Jesus and he's listening. And I'd love to come back and give us an opportunity to respond in prayer. As Sam sets up, maybe we could stand. Is that all right, Sam? Awesome. Let's stand together.
Jesus in our hearts and our minds right now. It was my cross you bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Goodness forevermore. Worthy. deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Have all we need. And Father, running through my head is this phrase that if we are willing, you are able. Lord, we stand before you tonight and we want to follow you with all our lives, with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength and all of our soul. And yet so often, Jesus, we can get distracted. We can stumble. Try and find relief. Lord, we don't want to go into the current of this world. We want to put our hand up and say, Jesus, grab hold of me. I need you. I want to encourage you in this moment. And if that's your desire tonight, again, just as a symbol, just want to hold up your hand as just a symbol of just saying, I just want to reach out to you, Jesus, and can you grab hold of my hand tonight, Jesus? I'm actually doing that for myself because I just need more and more of Jesus. It's so easy to just find ourselves walking in the wrong direction. Take hold of my life. I desire to give you all of me. Maybe there's something that you need to confess before Jesus. Maybe there's something that you need to share with Jesus, something very personal in your life. Take this moment quietly in your own mind. Bring before Jesus what troubles you the most. Bring before Jesus whatever that cycle of sin is, whatever that worry or fear is, bring it before Jesus right now. Just put it at his feet. With a desire to encourage. Lord, help us this week to fix our thoughts on you, Jesus. And Lord, help us to always reach out for you. When we know that our heart and our mind has fallen again, thank you, Lord, that all we need to do is reach out to you, and your grace will always save. Jesus, fill us again with your Spirit. We would follow you this week and help us, Lord, to stand up for you, Jesus, when it counts. Lord, if we're facing friends that are challenging us to do the wrong thing, Lord, help us to stand up for you when it counts. Lord, if Satan and his dark forces are trying to shove us in the wrong direction, Lord, help us to stand up for you and to trust in your promises. And Jesus, I just want to thank you. we strive.